Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There is news that is broken. So you've got the women's national championship game yesterday.
Yep.
You've got the men's national championship game tonight, which is the matchup that we've wanted and deserve, right? Between Zach Edey
and
Donovan
asking Clingan. For, yeah.
This is what we wanted. So you've got literally... I'm certain it's the most watched. We don't have numbers yet on the national championship game.
But, I've not seen them yet.
But the South Carolina. I mean, the UConn Iowa game was literally the most watched basketball game ever on ESPN.
Yes.
So I imagine that yesterday's
most watched non-football game ever
on ESPN. So I imagine that yesterday's game, and wasn't it nice that this is in the afternoon? I kind of approve. Like tonight.
Oh, I very much thought. So
you got this ridiculous late starts, right? 8:20? Is that
8:20
what it is?
Central time.
It's just that means it starts at 9:20 in Minnesota.
This is why I will go to the grave. The worst time zone you can possibly live in is the Eastern time zone.
It's crazy.
After 18 months, I was like, never again.
So we had we got a national championship game tonight. We had a national championship game yesterday. We had the Marc Gasol stuff. We got the Masters week. We got the Showboats losing in absolutely crushing fashion over the weekend.
I'll put my hand up on that one. Jeff, with like 2 minutes left, I turned it off. It's like, okay, they can't lose.
You did not.
That's on me. It's on me. I had to take Josephine to my parents' house so that we could go have Saturday night with Mark. And so I hand up. I was like, you know what? I think they're good here. It's on
and
me.
Then, of course, we had WrestleMania. Like, there's all kinds of things to talk about.
Two nights of WrestleMania. Last night was electric.
Electric. It was electric.
A main event's main event.
So, and yet it is all, to take the word of the day, eclipsed by the news that John Calipari has gone to Arkansas. This started to break last night before I hit the sack, and then it was confirmed this morning when I awoke. John Calipari headed from Kentucky to Arkansas. It is a shock, certainly. It is a seismic event, certainly. It also makes all the sense in the world.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like, it is both shocking and totally logical.
Yeah, this is the classic reset the clock.
It is the classic.
The Sharks are swimming. Let's go ahead and...
One of the interesting things about this, of course, is there's so many interesting things about this. And again, we're going to talk about the Marc Gasol thing because that was just the game was excruciating, and then the night was absolutely spectacular. We're going to talk about that at great length on the show later on in this hour, and then with Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. But I thought we'd start with the Calipari news. One of the funny things about it is that this entire dominoes sequence has been of coaches resetting the clock, right? It started because Rob Lanier was fired at SMU after 2 years, which was itself a little surprising, right?
I'd actually like to say I think it goes back one step further. I think it goes back to SMU's decision to buy their way into the ACC.
Because otherwise they would have been happy with Rob Lanier.
I don't think Andy Enfield would land there.
That's probably true, too. So anyway, so they fire Rob Lanier.
Yep.
So then Andy Enfield, coach at USC, decides, you know what? I've been reasonably successful here, but not that successful, and I got to reset the clock.
Yep.
So he takes what is clearly a step down, really, to go to SMU. But hey, I'm resetting the clock, you know? My time might be running out here, and so I don't want to stick around and get fired. I'm going to go to SMU. Eric Musselman, who has had a reasonably successful, in fact, highly successful run at Arkansas, although not this year, says, listen, USC may have stepped down from Arkansas. Clearly in basketball tradition it is, but it's time for me to reset the clock, so I'm going to take a step down, and I'm going to go to USC.
Yes.
And then John Calipari looks around, realizes that he's not that popular anymore in Kentucky. And listen, when your AD has to release a statement saying you are coming back, that's always a sign.
Well, and then don't forget the weird fireside chat video.
Right. That, yeah. So when you've got to do that, you're not popular anymore. And so John, although Arkansas is very clearly a step down from Kentucky in basketball, decides to reset the clock. It is a remarkable sequence of events that has happened here that has put John Calipari at Kentucky, at Arkansas, stunning, yes, stunning such that I know people were doing a double take when they heard the news this morning, but a switch that makes all the sense in the world.
It does. I think we also need to note whether or not, like, it was diversion tactics, whether or not it was striking out. I do think Arkansas, the appearances were, they kept striking out on coaches.
Well, that's the other thing.
I think that really played into this.
Let's look at it from a couple of angles here. On the morning show, I think they put up a poll. They may have stolen the Jeff Calkins show poll.
I don't know if you were listening on Friday, but Mark wanted to put out a poll.
And you squashed it?
Absolutely not. I said, that is proprietary information. I would never turn my back on Jeff.
Thank you.
I think it was something along the line. It was like Mark's popularity. It was something like that. And I was like, no.
By the way, that's something you should never poll. That's something you should never have the people weigh in on your popularity.
No.
Because they're going to gang up on you. If there's a chance to kick you. Even if he is, in fact, wildly popular, and I think he is, the poll might not reflect that.
I'm sorry, it was Gasol's popular.
Oh, Mark Gasol's. Yeah, okay.
We're dueling it. I had that whole problem.
The same argument with Mark and...
It was something along those lines, and I was like, no, absolutely not. Okay. I will not allow this.
So they were asking, is this better for Arkansas or better for Kentucky? Let's just take the Arkansas perspective.
Okay.
I don't see how this isn't a slam dunk for Arkansas. You're whiffing on your candidates, and you get someone who immediately makes you one of the biggest stories in college basketball, who clearly can recruit the hell out of the sport, who is larger than life, who will be electric at his open, and has never failed anywhere.
No, to your point, it's almost like, you struck out on your fallbacks, and you wind up getting choice A.
It's incredible for Arkansas. It is incredible for Arkansas. Now, I'm struck by the fact that John, at age 65, wants to start over. Some people are wired that way, right? Some people are wired. Like, John could have easily. People have wondered for a long time, when is John going to retire? Like, when is John going to be done at Kentucky? Is he just going to be an ambassador at Kentucky, right? It's interesting to me that John wants to go do this again, but I don't have, like, sometimes either with quote-unquote retread coaches or with older coaches, you wonder if they still have the fire. You don't think John will have the fire to prove that Kentucky fans wrong? Of course he will. I think John will be as motivated as he has ever been. I suspect he has learned that he has to be better at the portal. I don't know if you know this, but the Tyson people are pretty successful, and the Walton people are pretty successful, and they seem to have a lot of money knocking around.
You're speaking my language.
And so, A, the money that John is going to get, but B, the money that's going to be there and available for him in NIL, I think it is an extraordinary move for Arkansas that would absolutely thrill me were an Arkansas fan.
I don't know about you, Jeff, but I, for one, am just excited to see what John Calipari can do
now that
he finally has some money for players.
And you don't think John's going to extract every penny?
Oh, my God.
So it's fabulous for Arkansas. For Kentucky, there are parts of it that are fabulous. They wanted him gone anyway. The fan base did, right?
Well, let's start with number one.
And now you don't have to pay the buyout.
$35 million.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
$33 million. You're saving $33 million. If you had fired him, you would have had to pay him $33 million to go away. Instead, he just walks away.
Correct.
And you don't have to pay him anything. Hell, when Josh Pastner went to Georgia Tech, Memphis had to pay Josh at least part of his, you know, the deal to make up the difference to go to Georgia Tech. Here, Kentucky gets the best of John for all those years, and now he walks away and they don't owe him a penny?
Bingo.
That is a massive win, and it was just kind of time there. If you pull the fan base, they're happy that he's gone, right? So that's good. My only caveat is, who are they going to get? And given the incredible standards of that program, will they really look back at this and say this was a great moment for Kentucky? Like, it's clearly a great economic moment. It's the right time, all of that. But in 5 years, will the next coach have elevated the – because that will ultimately be the measure of this. You can get rid of him and save $30 million, but if the next coach doesn't win a national championship in the next 5 years, people aren't going to say that's great because we saved $33 million 5 years ago. It's not my money.
Well, I think what's fascinating to me is the SEC's two bell cow programs, the Alabama football
right.
and Kentucky basketball, two jobs that are largely thought of, well, just about anyone can win there. Well, what we saw, like, to me, like, that's the fundamental question with Kentucky is Kentucky plug and play, if you will, in terms of...
Or is every place plug and play now? Because there's so much money sloshing around everywhere, and you're remaking your teams on the fly every year.
Your institutional advantages, are they still the same institutional advantages?
Take Nate Oates.
Yes.
Okay, now the problem with Nate Oates, and Nate Oates has been mentioned as a possible candidate. One of the problems with Nate Oates is he's got an $18 million buyout at
Correct.
Kentucky. Okay? So, I mean, at Alabama. So you would immediately have to fork over $18 million to buy out Nate Oates. Let's say Kentucky wants to do that. If you are Nate Oates... Are you really getting many more? Can you really do things at Kentucky that you can't do at Alabama? And to the extent you can, is it worth the added pressure?
So I guess the argument would be, has he maximized Alabama?
That team is coming back.
So you have that fundamental question. Like, to me, that's what it really boils down to. We know now, can you get to a Final Four at Alabama? It hadn't been done, but now Nate Oates has done it. We know you can get to a Final Four. The question would be is, can you get to that next step, which is win a title? We know you can, multiple people can win titles at Kentucky. We've seen it. So I think that's...
It's funny. You don't want to be the man following the man, but if the man has dropped off, can you be the man following the man? In other words, you don't
want... It's a good time to replace that guy.
You don't want to follow John Calipari at Memphis, but can you follow John Calipari at Kentucky... given what you've done recently, what John Calipari has done recently at Kentucky. Back from the Kentucky perspective really quickly as we think about whether this is better for Arkansas or for Kentucky.
Yeah.
When John left Memphis, he brought his entire recruiting class with him.
Right. And the snow cone machine.
And it turns out the snow cone machine. When John is leaving Kentucky and he's got the number two recruiting class in the country, and by the way, every player is now a free agent as well, right?
Yes.
What is he bringing with him?
I suspect John's not going empty-handed.
Let's be honest.
Is he going like he did at Kentucky with everything?
He probably hasn't had as much time. At Memphis, he had a lot of time to line up his recruits to make sure they were all on board and going with him to Kentucky.
And don't forget delaying the NCAA announcement.
And delaying the NCAA. Oh, yeah, he delayed the NCAA announcement. He did all of this. It was mastermind as people were out there picketing outside. Please, John, stay. Please, John, stay. As John is making sure that all the pieces are in track, that he can take everything with him to Kentucky. Here, it'll be interesting to see what goes with him, right? Like, there... with all due respect to Memphis, if you're going, I think if you're a player who's committed to John at Memphis and has no particular ties to Memphis, you don't mind that you're now going to, with him to Kentucky. It's a bigger stage, bigger program, right? If you're John Wall or whatever, I wouldn't hesitate. If you're going with John from Kentucky to Arkansas, it's a little less obvious, right?
I think so, but and I think another big part of it's like, okay, I think that's the big question. Are you committed to Cal or are you committed to Kentucky? Because if you're committed to Kentucky, you're willing to wait.
Like a Reed Shepherd kid would have been committed to Kentucky,
yes.
Right? There's some question. Reed Sheppard was so bad in the NCAA tournament that one game. I think he's still going in the draft, but there's been like,
oh, sure.
Is he going to return to Kentucky? Is he going to return to Kentucky? I'll tell you what, he's not going to Arkansas.
No, I would.
Right, that dude's not going to Arkansas. But you're right. If you committed to Cal, Wagner, for example,
sure.
Like he might go to Arkansas. It'll be interesting to see who he brings with him. Anyway, so let's go down the list of you are now the athlete. I've made you the athletic director at the University of Kentucky, Mitch. So who is your first call?
Even though I'm calling Dan Hurley and just seeing, like, can I back up a Brinks truck to you?
Right, right.
Like, even
and
if
then
I,
you're expecting him to say no.
Correct. But I am calling him.
Right. You might as well. But I don't think either of us expect that Dan Hurley, who could win his consecutive national championships at UConn tonight, is going to leave to go to Kentucky. That would make very little sense to me. So, all right. Who's your next call?
I acknowledge there's some prisoner of the moment. I am bypassing Scott Drew, and I'm calling Nate Oates. I've seen him win it big at Buffalo. I've seen him win big at Alabama. I've seen program heights at two places that are not exactly places you just go and win consistently in basketball, and then I'm calling him.
Okay. It seems to me like current college head coaches who you might be able to persuade to join you, who are really good at their jobs, who could do this, absolutely. The two most logical are Nate Oates and Scott Drew. But before we get to those two,
okay,
let me just, Mitch, ask you if you have any interest in, because all these names are like flying around now, do you have any interest in Rick Pitino?
I do not.
Okay. Do you have any interest, or are you even going to bother to make the call to Jay Wright?
I'm probably not, simply because I'm a little hesitant to go after a guy that has decided, you know what, I don't want a part of this world.
Yeah,
I want someone.
That's the difference between John as he goes to Arkansas. The argument with Jay Wright is, I didn't really want to do this. So if you could throw a boatload of money at him to persuade him to do this, would you really be getting a wholehearted Jay Wright? We know he wants to be in the TV studio and not doing this.
Well, and he, like, yeah, to me, like, that's the key, is that it's somebody that has said, you know what? This lifestyle, it's not for me.
Okay. Brad Stevens. You call him Brad Stevens?
I mean,
you just know he's going to say no.
Correct.
Like, but you called Dan Hurley.
Right, but with Dan Hurley
is
said,
at least still an active.
Yeah. I'm willing, like, I want to coach this world. Brad Stevens.
Okay. That's why I'm asking. I'm just asking for the some of these off-the-wall candidates.
It's the same thing with Billy Donovan.
Are you calling Billy Donovan?
I mean, to me, it's like, no, Billy Donovan doesn't want any part of this.
So you're not even calling him?
I really do think, like, if you're going to coach and be successful in this universe, you have to be 100% committed to, like, yeah, I understand there's lots of things to gripe and complain about, but, like, this is the world.
Kelvin Sampson. We're just going through them.
I don't hate it. The only problem with Kelvin Sampson is I think Kelvin needs to be in a spot where it's like, all right, I got a couple years to build this bad boy.
Or he's overachieving. He's building. I'm not going to. There's a little tubby in him, right? Better. Much better.
Right.
Much better. But it's a little bit
the
like.
The richest of rich man's.
Culture. Yeah, the richest of rich man's tubby.
It's a, right? It's a Bezos tubby.
Right. Exactly right. Okay. Backup to backup. Mark Pope at BYU. Kentucky guy. Had some success this year.
I think BYU's a pretty good job.
That
almost everybody wins there.
That would be disappointing if you were a Kentucky. Bruce Pearl. Calling him, or are you the show cause putting you off?
Oh, you know,
you're above Bruce.
You
Pearl.
Know, well, no, I don't. You but know, I don't. I do not
you
care
don't
the
care,
show
but,
calls.
But Mitch might. Of course, he hired John.
I was say why?
Well, he already hired John.
You know what I mean,
how about Bruce Pearl? Bruce Pearl could get some things done there.
I would be fine if Bruce Pearl became like my if I got enough no's, I would be fine setting the floor at Bruce Pearl. Like, I'm getting Bruce Pearl.
All right. But would you try to hire either Nate Oates or Scott Drew first?
Yes.
I think, who's it going to be? You tell me, who's it going to be?
I cannot get out of my head that I find it very, it can
I think
be
it's
coincidental.
Be Scott Drew.
I think it'd be very coincidental, but the fact that it feels like this thing got ramped up. The speed went very, very quickly after Alabama loses. I can't get that out of my head.
Oh, so you think it's going to be Nate Oates? If you had to just pick one person, just pick one person, and you get $1,000 if you're right.
If they wanted to hire Scott Drew, they could have done it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you think this was in the works anyway? But the Arkansas job only freaking came, like, the Arkansas job only came open.
I can tell you this, though. I think the industry knew the Arkansas job was going to be open since about January. I believe that.
So you think it's if you put chip down on one name, it would be Nate Oates.
I think so. If like I don't know what the odds are. What
the odds? At least odds here was sportsbetting.ag.
Okay.
Richard Pitino 3-1.
Okay, that's
stupid.
Young Rick,
right? Scott Drew 5-1. Billy Donovan 6-1. Mark Pope 7-1. Calvin Sampson and Nate Oates 9-1.
Yeah, I like Nate Oates at 9-1.
You like him at 9-1. Rick Pitino at 12-1. Sean Miller at 12-1. Chris Beard at 16-1. And then Jamie Dixon and Shaka Smart all at 16-1. Penny, by the way, 25-1. I'll say this about Penny as he continues to rake in players, right? If you had a coach who was, let's forget this past year, right? Who was coming off last year's Memphis Tiger team, as the dominoes fall, as they do, right? Like at some point, like let's say Scott Drew takes the job or Nate Oates, those jobs are then going to come open. If you had a coach who had done what Penny had done at Memphis last year, right? You'd be worried about losing him all the time. With Penny, you just never worry about it.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
It is one of the upsides of Penny Hardaway. Okay, a couple more things on this before we got to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about other matters, Marc Gasol and whatnot. Cal has never returned to Memphis to coach, obviously, because Kentucky has not played at Memphis, right? Kentucky is he will play at Rupp next year because Arkansas does.
Yes.
Will he be booed?
I think so, probably. I think it's just the way fandom goes.
Will he be booed? Like, it's different. It is different than at Memphis. And the reason it's different is Memphis, when he left, was crushed and felt like he stabbed us in the back. He took our players. We were at our zenith, and that's gone for forever. Kentucky fans, by and large, wanted him to leave. He gave them a national championship. He gave them 4 Final Fours. He gave them 7 Elite Eights, and he then saved them $33 million. I think he will be booed, but I don't think it will be as thunderous as it would have been at Memphis.
So I think all of that is true, and I do think you're right. It tempers it. I still think, though, if John were rolling, it would not. We wouldn't even be in this situation. And I think there's still a...
Well, and here's the other thing. Like, he may take a bunch of Kentucky players. That will certainly influence how
they... recruits.
However, that's a minute. Yeah, and recruits and how they feel about... However they feel about it now, once the recruiting class goes to Arkansas, then you tell them, then check back with me how they feel about it. Then they will hate him.
Yeah, and to me, it's just, in the end, it's like, the only reason he's not the Kentucky coach is because the standard was slipping. You know what I mean?
What a day, man. What a day. We do have a national championship game tonight. You going to wager on this one? What's the line?
So I think it's 6.5. I will openly admit my guys are good guys. Yet again.
If you were not betting on this, would you be rooting for one team or the other?
So it's 7 right now. I'd probably be rooting for UConn again, but if you're having me to ask like the amount of money that UConn has won me throughout the last
just
2 years,
just out of gratitude.
Yes, like this is
because I'm very clearly rooting for Purdue just because they haven't won a national championship, and I like the Zach Edey story. Kentucky, I'm very clear. I don't like dynasties. I like joy to be spread around, and so I would like Purdue to win, and I think Zach Edey gets beaten up. And so I'd like that. I'd like Purdue to win.
I mean, when I watch like what Edey did to Burns on Saturday,
that did not surprise me at all. I will say that, like, as good as Burns was against Duke, immediately after that game, I said, yeah, He can't do that. It's one thing to try to do that with Kyle Filipowski.
Sure.
You made him look inept.
But it makes me wonder, it's like, is Klingon going to wind up in the same trap? Because, like, I think Klingon is better than Burns, for sure. But at the same time, it's like, also with Klingon, like, a huge problem with UConn is when Klingon gets in foul trouble. Is Klingon going to get a couple of quick fouls, and then all of a sudden...
It will be interesting to see how the foul stuff goes, like, with...
I am more nervous for my pups tonight than I am any game the last 2 years.
Castle was tremendous the other night. Absolutely tremendous. And he's like... He's a lottery pick, and he's like their fifth best starter.
I mean, that is the one thing that, like, whenever I'm like, I'm okay, how do I feel about my guys? It's no one they put on the floor is bad. Like, almost every single person, even like their guys that have bad games, you're like, that guy's still a good player.
Yeah. No, they're terrific.